KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
Welcome to KVOE's Candidate Spotlight here today as we continue our process of interviewing and introducing you to the City Commission candidates here for the fall 2025 general election campaign. As again, the election taking place November 4th. Our guest here this morning, current City Commissioner Tyler Curtis. Tyler, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Chuck. Good morning, everyone.
Glad to have you in so far. Tyler happens to be a candidate who's really shooting for your first election
mm-hmm.
after being appointed following the death of Danny Giefer here.
Right.
I want to ask you here about, in general terms, a question that I'm not going to be able to ask the other candidates because you're in a unique spot. How has your time been on the City Commission?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. We've had some issues coming before us. It's been an active year and some change. Started serving in August of 24. So we've had a lot of things going on, but it's been a learning opportunity, a deep learning opportunity. And I've certainly gathered a lot of respect for past public servants, as well as current ones who have had to deal with these kinds of issues before and are dealing with them now.
What prompted you to go for this full term and essentially go from filling an unexpired term to a full term?
Yeah, I would say it was probably the same motivation, Chuck. I love Emporia. I really love our community. I fell in love with it as a student at Emporia State. I came back in 2010, and it was just such a great place for Melanie and I to raise our family. So I just love this community, and I want to see us grow. And that's where I was in August of last year. That's where I'm at now. I want to see us grow opportunity. I want to see us grow partnerships. I want to see us grow jobs. I want to see us have a community that we can be proud of and that is fully sustainable for the next 50 to 100 years.
Now, you mentioned here Emporia State student coming
Absolutely.
Back here about 15 years ago. Talk a little bit and highlight some of the different really work experiences that you've had since you've been in Emporia and
sure.
At Emporia State and other locations.
Sure, absolutely. So I started my career in teaching. So I taught in the Topeka Seaman District, and I was a principal in Atchison, but came back in 2010 to take a job at the Emporia State University Alumni Association. My role at that time was alumni director and government relations coordinator. So I did government relations, legislative liaison, and alumni affairs. That role evolved over the course of my 11 years there. It evolved from alumni, government, to foundation, corporate relations, doing grants and forming partnerships with corporate entities, as well as working with donors, donor development. Everything I did at Emporia State had an outward-facing slant to it. So I worked deeply with the community and our alumni all over the place, especially in Kansas, but all over the place, and really enjoyed that role. Left there in 2021, started working for the Kansas Methodist Foundation, serve as the Chief Development Officer there. And that was an opportunity for me to grow my skills and keep a lot of my skills I learned at the foundation here at Emporia State, and also marry that faith component of my life to my job.
And you've already mentioned your family. Your family's very important to you.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are. Melanie and I met here at Emporia State, started dating here, and we were married 23 years ago. I have two girls. Both of them have gone through Emporia Public Schools their entire time. So Walnut Middle School, High School. One graduated last year, and one is still a sophomore in high school. We've had a great experience in the schools that we've gone to, and I just really think that they've had a good experience, too, as students. Like I said, this is a great place to live, work, play, raise a family.
Speaking of that, let's dive into our topics.
Yeah, sounds good.
Let's talk about the one which probably is the least favorite of everybody to talk about, and that happens to be property taxes.
Sure.
There is a ton of conversation, you know, for both the city and the county when they finalize the budgets in September, specifically coming in to do a better job of stewarding our money.
Yep.
And do your best to control expenses as part of that. Foundational question for me is kind of your perspective on why property taxes are as high as they are here.
Sure. There's numerous things that are leading in to why we have such high property taxes. And, you know, I've said this from the beginning, I think, of my campaign, is if you think property taxes in Lyon County are too high, you're right. They are too high. When we look at comparable cities and comparable counties, we are among the highest, maybe second to Newton, Harvey County. So we're high. So what's forcing that to happen? Why are we higher than others? I think that a key reason to that is that we're not good about sharing services. We have done things. We've done things. Think about dispatch. When we put dispatch all together, Lyon County, the City of Emporia, Police Department, ESU, all those, they came under one roof. Well, that's efficiency, and that's shared service. That creates a little bit of efficiency, less dollar amount. So I think there's considerable opportunity for us to look at. You know, our county has 34,000 people or so. Our city's about 25. So the city, of course, is the bulk of the county. But how do we then share city resources as well as county resources to make sure that our roads can be maybe cared for by both budgets? There's certainly city residents that utilize county roads. I'm one of them. I utilize county roads to ride my bike on. Probably not tearing them up too much with my bicycle. I'm not grinding that hard of the gravel. But you know, almost every county resident is probably coming to town and using our roads. So there's probably room for us to say, county, city, where can we get a little bit smarter on how we do roads, bridges, and those kind of things? Are there things, other things in the law enforcement public safety realm? There may be some things there. But ultimately, infrastructure, public safety, we've got to be able to find ways to come together. And that's what those other counties are doing. I'll tell you this, too, because one thing that we do in Lyon County that some of the counties that are lower than us that they're doing, they have a higher sales tax. So they have chosen to offset their property tax with sales tax. Any tax is regressive. Any tax takes away from bottom lines and those kind of things. So how do we do that smarter? Thing about property tax is you have to live here to pay it. Sales tax, you don't. Sales tax, and we are positioned. We do have a pull factor from our region. So we have people from Chase County, Coffee County, Osage County, Greenwood County, Morris County, and even people that stop in on the interstate. We are positioned between I-35 and the KTA, and even Highway 50. So we pull a lot of people off the road to do some shopping here or to come in and do their spend. So does it make sense for us as a community to go ahead and maybe pay a little bit more sales tax so that we can deliver the same level of service but quit relying so much on property tax? That's probably another way we can look at that. Anytime you want to send a tax out, you want to be concerned about the folks that are most vulnerable. The good thing that Kansas has done is it's taken the sales tax completely off food. And of course, an enhanced sales tax here would not add that back.
Sure. Yeah.
So there is some safety net there, at least with food, that would not raise people's spend for their household income. But property taxes, whether you're an owner or a renter, that's going to be reflected in your rent or in your payment, right? Or in the price you pay. So, I mean, those are going to be set and they're just going to be paid for by our residents. Do we need to look at a sales tax? Possibly.
I want to jump back into that tax question here in our second segment, but I wanted to go next into the conversations here for at least a decent part of the year with the possibility of a joint task force involving Lyon County, the school board, USC-253, and yep. the Rec Commission. Really, the city was the only one that was able to get any interest in that. Is that task force something that you have supported here over the last few months?
Absolutely support it. And even if we haven't gotten a favorable response or a lot of interest, that's something that we have to do. We have to figure out how to bring those parties together. 28% of your property tax bill goes to the city. 34% or so, 33, 34% goes to the county. 34, 35% goes to the school district. And the other 5 goes to our rec center. The bulk of the savings that we could do on property taxes is definitely between the city and the county. And the school district's going to play a role in here for sure. How do we share services with the school district? That's going to be a little more complicated. And the school district is right now looking at their budget projections and trying to find out how they can be efficient internally. I will say that the school district has a different set of pressures than the city and the county have. So I'm willing to give the school district certainly a little bit of time to figure out what their current enrollment is going to do to their income and what they need to do going forward. We could certainly start now. We could start today having conversations with the county just to say, what are our priorities? Where do we see some overlap, some perhaps duplication of services, as well as duplication of revenue and expense? And how can we maybe start tailoring that? We've got to have this conversation soon because we do budgets in August, September. August, September of 2026 is going to be here before we know it. If we keep kicking off the conversation, we're going to delay yet one more year. And we've already delayed to a point where we didn't have a chance to make much meaningful progress for 2026.
Absent, any results from the county, and again, this is essentially it's been tabled here by the mm-hmm. other three entities, but absent those conversations, you know, maybe leading to a solution, maybe not. Absent also, mm-hmm. Let's take the half-cent sales tax off the question, sure. which we'll be talking about in a little
sure.
bit. What are maybe some other ways that you see that the property tax burden can come down, or yeah. are we at a spot really where we're kind of stuck with where we're at?
Well, if we look at just the city budget, and this is where I think we really need to hear from citizens, right? Look at your current level of service and where would you be able to say, I don't need that level. So some cases in point, do you want your trash picked up maybe every other week? That would reduce some expense. Are you okay with some extra potholes? When those water lines break, do we go ahead and maybe take certain parts of town off of service? Or do we keep on patching those things? I'm going to think that no one's really willing to cut the expenses for the chemicals at the water treatment plant because we want to have safe water. But let me know if that's something that you think we spend too much on, and we can look at that. Do we patrol too much? Do we need to cut down on what we have in terms of services for police and fire? The other thing, I mean, frankly, when it comes to roads and walkways, walkable and bikeable communities are cheaper to maintain because it's easier to maintain something that's walked on or ridden on by a bike. Cars and trucks, especially, and semis, they're hard on pavement. They're hard on concrete. They're hard on asphalt. So are we willing to give up some of our driving streets and driving areas to create more bike paths that would be cheaper to both build and maintain, and maybe even contribute to some more healthy lifestyles, but that's going to have to be a decision that our citizens make. If they want every road in town to be perfect and drivable, they want to have access to police and fire, and they want to have the best water and water delivery infrastructure in the state, then we're going to have to figure out how we do that with the resources that we have, because we are providing a level of service, and the basic level of service that we're providing right now is what you're paying for.
Candidate Spotlight continues here. City Commission candidate Tyler Curtis, our guest. More on the Candidate Spotlight after this. You're listening to KVOE and KVOE.com.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702. 342-0702. And get winterized.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
Candidate Spotlight continuing. City Commissioner Tyler Curtis running for his first full term in office. Our guest here on the Spotlight today. We spent our first segment talking an awful lot about property taxes, and we're going to take economic development into a different realm now and talk about really the relationships between the city and longstanding economic development partners. And at the top of the list, because of all the different headlines and highlights over the last year plus, happens to be the RDA, Regional Development Association for East Central Kansas. Tyler, from your perspective, and this is a search that's now been going on for a while.
Sure.
We're talking about, you know, an 18 to, you know, nearly 20-month search here.
Yep.
For a permanent president. But given the fact that we've had, you know, that position open for a while, there's been the restructuring, mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. reset of the voting membership.
Yeah,
here.
A couple extra members on there.
Yeah. Yep. Do you feel that the process is at an appropriate spot, or do you feel that maybe things should have wrapped up on that president search a little earlier?
We obviously have a search team, and they've been doing a lot of work with a consultant as well as internally. So I trust that they are out there beating the bushes and recruiting people in. This is not an easy time to recruit any kind of executive position. It's hard to recruit superintendents. It's hard to recruit CEOs for any kind of a position. So this is it's a tough market to recruit in. So I do appreciate the fact that they're doing their due diligence and they're taking their time. We need that person sooner rather than later. So I'm looking forward to what that is going to look like. I'm not going to fault anybody for a delay in that. I know they're continuing to do their work, and I hope they find the right person sooner rather than later.
On the restructuring side here for the RDA, mm-hmm. There's something that came up with the Vision First study, mm-hmm. a little over a year ago. The action came here earlier this year. Do you believe that restructuring was indeed necessary here for the RDA and the different components of the RDA and those partners going forward?
Yeah, that board restructure was certainly a needed change and a step in the right direction. Giving ESU and Flint Hills Tech a vote is a needed thing. To me, our two biggest economic development drivers are Flint Hills Technical College and Emporia State University. That is our number one workforce development tool. And when we have employers come to our town, they're going to look for the labor supply and the workforce development. And those two entities have the tools to be able to deliver that. Flint Hills Tech does a great job. They are so responsive to industry need. You need more truck drivers, we'll open up classes. You need people to be skilled in this equipment or that equipment, we will put a program together. They are very, very responsive and also forward-thinking. So Emporia State's the same way. We, of course, I think we can probably leverage Emporia State just a little bit more. Most of our competitors cities, so to speak, competitor college towns, they have an industry locally that the university feeds. Now, we certainly have teachers that we feed and nurses that we feed. Outstanding. That's probably a little bit vanilla when we look across the board, because almost everybody feeds teachers and nurses to their local communities. Still need it,
right?
But almost every community has that. I'm excited about programs like cybersecurity at Emporia State, a program that's putting out individuals who are skilled to work in an industry that is fully, it does not require you to be in the location. It is fully remote. That is a remote job. So what could we do to lean into Emporia State and say, cybersecurity, that seems like an interesting industry. What would it look like for Emporia to have a cybersecurity industry hubbed right here that provides services throughout the state and maybe even the nation? So I'm excited about those two things. So they need a vote. They need a vote. RDA also needs to just further broaden their perspective. It's largely been industrial development, which is a great focus, And we've had a lot of success there. We've had Simmons, we've had Hills, we've had Michelin. Before that, of course, Camso, Caterpillar.
Right.
So, I mean, all these kind of things, right? We've had a developments and expansions with Norfolk. I mean, we've done a lot of good work on there. I think one of the issues that we see with economic development and how we measure success is too often we measure activity, but we don't necessarily measure the impact, the outcome. So we'll measure activity like we acquired ground, we put in infrastructure, it's shovel ready, we've put out X number of bids on projects. We've really got to drill down, though, and say, okay, so those are good activities. Are they leading to the right outcomes? And to me, the right outcomes have to be, are we growing jobs and are we growing median income? Are we growing income levels? So if we look at 1990, the average median income for Emporia, Kansas, and adjust it for inflation, okay?
Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
Because
1990 and 2025 is not going to work, yeah.
But 1990 income levels, adjusted for inflation, and today's income level, as reported on their RDA site, there's about a $5,000 gap in the negative. 57,000 or so would be the number that it would be at. And if you look at the RDA site, the community profile page, the community profile tab, you'll see our average income is about 50,000, a little over 50,000. So we might look at that. Some people might look at that and say, well, it's $5,000. You know, what can you do with $5,000? Well, our households that are living on $50,000, they can do a lot with $5,000. That's 10% of their household income that they would be making that they're maybe not making. That's a huge swing. So we've got to be able to look at, say, we've done some things, but are we doing the right things to contribute to the bottom line of our households? We're still, out of 105 counties, our county is 103 in terms of its household income. So we haven't moved up. We've arguably moved down. And when you're that low on the totem pole, even if you move up a couple spots, you did that because someone else went down, not because you did something good and you moved up. And you might look at that and say, hey, Kansas, that's just Kansas. Kansas isn't in that. No, Kansas is, you know, right in the middle or so of our country when it comes to median income. So what are we doing to make sure that when we are recruiting a business, we're not only looking for capital investment and number of jobs, we're looking at how much are you paying? How are you taking care of your people? Because, again, on that community profile page, you'll see that our average median income is $50,000, just north of that. But our average household spend is closer to $78,000. Now, what that makes my head – that makes me scratch
my
head. That
does make your head spin, yeah.
How are we bringing in $50,000 per household but yet spending $78,000? Well, here's how we're doing it. We have multiple households living in the same house, because they can't afford to do otherwise. So we wonder, why do we have all these, you know, empty homes, and why do we have dilapidated properties that are still lived in? Like, what's forcing people to live in those conditions and not move into something nicer? they can't afford it. They can't afford it. So we have to work with our partners, not only at the industrial level, but also what are some of those medium-sized companies that want to grow here? How do we incentivize those? They haven't been the resources that RDA has haven't been available to those companies. So those mid-sized companies. But those jobs may be doing $70,000, $80,000. How do we help those companies grow, not by 500 jobs, but by 25 jobs, by 40 jobs? Mm-hmm. How do we help those small businesses? The vast majority of our businesses here in town are 2 to 4 person shops. How do we help them both be sustainable and have measurable growth? And how do we spur entrepreneurship? So I'm really interested in an RDA that understands the soup to nuts of economic development, small business, entrepreneurship, medium, big, and they cater services to all of them. And I think adding the 2 votes for ESU and Flint Hills Tech is certainly one step in the right direction to get us there.
I want to go back here before we run out of time to the 0.5% sales tax question, which mm-hmm. city commissioners have discussed. And in our first segment, in case you missed it, Tyler had mentioned here about the possibility of using that if this does come to pass as an offset for property tax. Are there other maybe, because I've had in prior interviews possibility of maybe something specific project based or maybe dedicated to
sure.
city
yeah.
infrastructure in different realms.
Yeah.
Is that something that you would also consider, or are you thinking that this needs to really serve as an offset and drive the property tax side?
Well, if we're going to do a sales tax that is helpful for property tax, it's going to have to be dedicated more generally to infrastructure. You see the signs around town that this road project was done by that, and those are true. We can do more of those if we have more of that. So if people are saying, I really want better roads, I'm tired of this, then we would need to maybe collect that and dedicate it to those specific projects. We've had things like rec centers and that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, if we dedicate a 0.5 cent to a specific project like a rec center, well, that's not going to help us relieve any property tax. We're just adding to what we currently are doing. And I'm not for or against a rec center project. That's something that the voters are going to have to decide. Mm-hmm. But we do need to say, how do we come together and make things more efficient on the property tax side? And then if we can lower some mill levy and find savings on the property tax side, do we also maybe lower it a bit more by adding in some extra sales tax and use that spend from outside of our community to make our roads, water, infrastructure just a little bit better? I'm interested in that conversation. I'm interested in the feedback, certainly from the public on that too.
Would this also maybe be, at least in your mind, are you thinking that this would possibly be ground level or below ground level? Because I know that, you know, this summer we've had a lot, at ground level. You also, you know, one of the things we haven't factored into is Idea Tech with its ongoing work to flesh things out here by the springtime of next year. Or would this, from your mind, be more geared towards those ongoing underground infrastructure projects like 24th and Prairie, Peyton Street, and Southeast?
So I would think that we are still behind the eight ball when it comes to underground infrastructure and ground level infrastructure. So we've done a lot of work. We're not seeing the water main breaks that we used to see. That's because of a lot of investment. In my 2 years, I've voted for $27 million worth of investment into our infrastructure, water and streets. That's a lot of money that's going into those things, and mm-hmm. we still need more because it's 80-100 years old. We've got to do that. So I think that's probably where it's going to need to be prioritized, because we still have a lot of work to do on our streets, roads, sewer lines, water lines, drainage systems to get us to a level where we don't have to keep on backfilling with bonds.
Okay. Tyler, in case people would like to learn more about your platform, your campaign, how did they get that information?
Well, I do have a website. So you can go to Curtis for City Commission, and you'll see a website. It has my background information, my bio, my issue statements, all those kind of things. I've been active on Facebook. I know that's not like the social media medium for every generation, but I do have an active Facebook page. That's Curtis for Public Service. And then obviously you can get a hold of me at my city email address, Tyler@emporiakansas.org. Get me on there and look me up. Certainly, I would love to hear from people about what their concerns are and what they might have in mind for solutions. Because that's the other side of the equation, right? We've got to know what the issues are, and we've also got to say, okay, if we're going to make progress on that, how can we do that in a way that you are willing to be a part of? And that may be more sales tax, that may be a reduction in property tax, and maybe a service level that you can stand to live with.
Well, Tyler, thanks a lot for joining us here for the Candidate Spotlight. Best of
Thank
luck
you.
Here as the campaign goes on, and we'll be reaching out here to you shortly.
Hey, I appreciate it so much.
City Commissioner Tyler Curtis, again running for his first full term in office, our Candidate Spotlight guest here today on KVOE Live and Local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.